Hey guys, welcome back to the Music That Made America podcast. My name's Jacob, and I'm here with my two very special and favorite co-hosts, Noah Schwartz and Jordy.
Jacoby, you are my least favorite co-host.
I hate all of you.
Let's begin. All right, so we are doing Jimi Hendrix. Yes, the guy you know as the left-handed guitar god.
All right, so Let's just jump in. His full name was, from birth, was Johnny Allen Hendrix. Fun fact, later on in his life, his father changed his name to James Marshall Hendrix. He was born November 27, 1942, in Seattle, Washington, and he had a very extremely difficult childhood.
All right, so let's talk about that childhood. So in a few cases, he actually ended up in the care of his relatives because he had to leave his house. His mom's name was Lucille, and he had Hendrix when she was only 17, so she was a really young mom.
Wow, that is very young and very weird, because I don't think we've seen that with any other artist with a bad uprising.
I don't know.
Accidental birth, yeah.
I don't know. All right, so Lucille and the father, Al, fought a lot, and after many nights, he eventually left the family Many fights, he left the family after they had two more children together. Hendrix's brothers were Leon and Joseph.
All right, let's just take a second to talk about this. Single mother with three children.
Yes, but...
Dad clearly doesn't get along.
Do you think
I'm
not sure how old he was when he left. But
do you think that he left because of the children, or do you think he left because of the frequent fights with his
wife?
Definitely the wife. Definitely.
You gotta live with kids, man.
Yeah, that's true too. Like,
well, we'll
young
see
blood.
That later on.
Yeah, we will. All right.
So Hendrix would only see his mother sporadically before she eventually died in 1958. He was 16 or so.
Oh
yep.
My God, that's terrible. He already lost his mom too. That's terrible.
So Hendrix, with a bad childhood, was deeply influenced by music, and that was kind of how he kept himself together. And he especially loved blues and rock and roll.
Very good. That is two very good types of music.
Definitely, for sure. So after his mother's death, his father then came back in his life, and with his encouragement, he helped Hendrix to teach himself how to play the guitar.
Then, when Hendrix turned 16, his father, Al, bought him an acoustic guitar, and the following year, he received his first electric guitar, which was a right-handed Supro Ozark that a left-handed person, such as himself, would flip upside down to play. So this, by the way, guys, I don't know if you guys know this, but it was a big thing back then because they didn't make left-handed guitars.
Oh, really?
That
is that a left-handed guitar? I didn't know that.
Nowadays, they make left-handed guitars, but what Jimi Hendrix did was he actually flipped the guitar around and he restrung all the strings so the thickest string would be on the top of when you flip it. So everything, it's like when you flip it, everything turns opposite. You know what I mean?
So it's like technically, it's like right side up, but back upside down.
Yes, and everything.
That didn't make any sense, but
it's like the opposite of everything on the guitar.
So he made the first like left-handed guitar.
Well, probably not the first.
Did their way to get.
I'm assuming he was like probably the first superstar left-handed guitarist.
Yeah,
maybe not, but as far as I know, he was the first.
Very unique. Very unique. We haven't seen that from anyone else, at least as of yet, to be a left-handed guitar player in the first place. So it kind of shows how like well he's come by through this experience of being left-handed.
Yeah, I think I'm a lefty in a lot of things, and I think. In a lot of ways, being lefty can actually help you. In some ways, it does hurt you because you're kind of looked at as an outcast, and it's like, why are you the lefty?
Oh,
but
my God.
No, seriously.
You're exaggerating.
No, seriously. Like, in school and stuff, like, it was always annoying sitting next to people.
Why are you a lefty?
Because it was always annoying sitting next to people, like, when you had your left hand, and you would always hit people when you were trying to write and stuff, like, sitting next to you. But for, like, the most part, being lefty actually is a good thing because I think it, like, honestly, like, if you're playing sports, for example, like, I'm a tennis player and I play lefty, and a lot of people get messed up playing a left-handed person, and I think in music it probably help you, it probably makes you stand out for sure. So there's, like, a lot of positives and negatives to it, but I think in this case it worked out for him.
All right, that was...
Sorry, I kind of ranted.
There is our speech on left-handedness.
Left-handedness.
And
lefty
so...
Lefty lives matter.
Yes.
So, basically, afterwards, he began to perform with his band, The Rocking Kings. In 1959, he dropped out of high school to pursue his musical career. Doing so would be tough on money, so he worked many odd jobs. You know what? Honestly, I would say that, again, taking a big risk dropping out of high school to chase your dreams, it's a very big risk. And
not easy.
I don't think
not an easy step
really
to take.
Do that now.
Definitely.
No. Especially considering... What did we say? He learned to play guitar when he was a teenager already. So I mean, that's right around high school age. So
yeah, literally like probably a lot of these like he wasn't even playing. He had a lot of hope in him because he wasn't.
Well, he was definitely a prodigy.
Yeah, I don't know if he definitely was good at playing the guitar. There's no
I'm
doubt.
I'm not sure
about
he was
that.
A prodigy at first because I think he was older when he played.
Yeah, which but like the way he got to like success so fast.
Right.
After learning at such a
he definitely seemed to learn quickly. I would say
100%. Yes.
All right. So he had to flip the guitar upside down, as we said, and he began to play in a band called the Rocking Kings. In 1959,
So in 1961, Hendrix followed in his father's footsteps and joined the U.S. Army. He was training as a paratrooper, and during that time, he still like made time for himself for music. And he formed a band called King Casuals.
Casuals with a K.
Yes. Like let's just stop right there for a second and just adjust a little bit of what we just heard. So basically, I want to just go over. Okay. Like, I want people to adjust to the situation right now. So he's in the army and he's training as a paratrooper. And that is, I'm sure at the time, was one of the most dangerous. That's one of the most dangerous types of jobs in the army. You jump out of a plane and you're a fire squad. So, and all that training, and he's still able to find time for music and playing in or forming a band even while he's in the army is just amazing.
Yeah, pretty busy guy, I guess.
Yeah,
I keep going down. All right, he served in the army till 1962. And he was eventually discharged due to a parachuting accident. So actually,
honorably discharged.
Yes. After the military, he began working under the name Jimmy James as a session musician. He played backup for Little Richard, B.B. King, Sam Cooke, and the Isling Brothers.
Isling Brothers.
In 1965, he founded a group called Jimmy James and the Blue Flames, and his band played gigs all over New York City's Greenwich Village. So that's kind of crazy. He moves from what? He's on the West Coast in Seattle when he grew up. So now he's on the East Coast in the city.
Oh yeah.
And he's already had three bands, and he's still a young guy.
He still hasn't taken off, and that's a little weird considering that it's not a little weird. It should be hard to take off in today's age. But like looking back then, especially with like Chuck Berry and stuff like that, basically they took off in like what the first two songs that they released, they usually got like a first hit one wonder.
Well,
what? First hit one wonder. Okay.
First hit wonder.
Anyway, after that, in the middle of 1956, he met Chas Chandler, who was a bass player for the Animals.
Stop saying bass. It's bass.
Sorry,
killed like the ears of a million listeners.
Bass player for the Animals, and we love the Animals. That's
we
a
do
great
love
band.
The Animals. Oh yeah,
bro. House of the Rising Sun. He's my favorite Muppet.
Yeah.
He's my favorite Muppet too, actually.
Yeah, I just beat the crap out of Jordy, by the way.
Okay, so anyway, after that, Chandler became Hendrix's manager. He convinced Hendrix to go to London, so West Coast to East Coast of America, and now all the way to Europe.
Across the country. All the way across the continent.
No, across the world.
Across the world.
Okay,
sorry,
whatever.
I don't know geography that well.
Okay, so afterwards, he went to London. He made a band with bassist Noel Redding and drummer Mitch Michelle to form the Jimi Hendrix Experience. That's a cool band name.
Yeah, that is a cool
band. As he performed in England, he got quite a following among the rock fans of that place in England.
This is a very important fact. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Who, and Eric Clapton were all impressed by his work.
Good job.
What? And
Jimi
like,
Hendrix.
That's crazy.
All right, in 1967, he released Hey Joe, which was an instant British success, and then he followed that up with many more great hits, such as The Purple Haze, which is one of my favorite songs of his, and Wind Cries Mary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
And so, in a performance at the Monterey Pop Festival, Hendrix had gained an American music fan following. So, now he's obviously gaining presence. Fun fact, the show ended with Hendrix lighting his guitar on fire.
That's actually
you know, it's funny because you see a lot of times in movies where at the end of a rock star like show, like they break the crap out of their guitar.
Yeah.
But like, man, like, I hope that's not the guitar that his dad gave him. That would be terrible.
No, it's
probably not. He probably had like a million guitars at that point.
All right. Yeah, probably.
So
He had a quick spike in popularity, obviously. And later that same year, in 1967, he released another album called Access Bold as Love. Okay, his final album was called Electric Lady Land in 1968, and that featured All Along the Watchtower, and that was a song written by Bob Dylan. That was a pretty good song.
Another
Bob Dylan. Yep, yes. Another amazing guy.
Songwriter. In 1969, and this is where definitely a big part of the podcast for us personally, Hendrix performed at one of the most legendary... What do you mean, why? One of the most legendary musical events in American history called Woodstock, which is which is very famous and something that really hits close to home for us because we love Woodstock and
yes,
we know
100%.
A lot about it.
We do a lot of research on Woodstock.
Moving on.
We do love Woodstock.
We love Woodstock.
He was the last performer of the three-day music festival and where he performed a rock recreation of the Star Spangled Banner.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. So, already he's at one of the, at the time, Woodstock, yes. He's definitely hit his peak at that point.
And he's famous.
Woodstock, man, to be invited to that, the Beatles were invited to that. That's, showing.
Yeah.
And at the time, the Beatles were, thriving.
Bigger than life.
Yeah, the Beatles, what do they call that? The British Revolution or whatever.
Yeah.
That's where they conquered America.
Or the... Yeah, isn't it the
British... I think you're right, yeah.
Or British Beatlemania or the British Invasion.
No, it was the British Revolution. I remember because I made a stupid joke oh, it's the opposite of the American Revolution.
Okay, very funny. Boo. Anyway, so he performed the Star Spangled Banner. Hendrix had his own recording studio in which he loved to work with different performers, and he tried out different songs and sounds. In 1969, he formed a band of gypsies with his buddy Billy Cock and drummer Buddy Miles. It never really took off, and he began working on a new album named First Rays of the New Rising Sun. He would not live to complete the project, sadly, as he died in London due to a drug complication on September 18th, 1970, at the age of 27. He left a huge mark on the world of rock and roll, and he continues to be a huge influence of rock music.
So, hold on. So, today is September 12th. In about a week from now, he'll be dead 50 years.
Wow. That is that's
right?
Sad.
Crazy.
We lost a great guy in 1970.
Well, Jimi Hendrix was such an inspiration. He was, he was so inspired. He was really a Brit. He really helped a lot of people.
Thank you, Jordy. That was nice.
Yeah. No, but he definitely had a large influence. Not a large influence. He definitely created
a mega
influence. On left-handed people, I gotta say, because
What are you laughing at?
An influence on left-handed people.
No, seriously. He did have an influence.
Because I think there's actually a stigma that goes against left-handed people where it's lefties are outcasts, like I said before. And sometimes for example, as a tennis player, I look up to Rafael Nadal, and he's the best lefty hand tennis player in the world right now, and he's someone that I really look up to and like to play at, model my game
after. Yeah, so guitarist.
There's definitely a lot of musicians that were I'm a lefty, I don't know if this is really made out for me, cut out for me, there's no specific left-handed guitar at the time, and then you see a guy like Jimi Hendrix dominate, mm-hmm. and it's wow, you know what, I can do that too, I'm a lefty, I can make this work, and I can be successful, and
100%.
No, seriously, that being an inspiration to left-handed people is a real thing.
Yeah.
100%. I've never heard of that.
Well, that's because you're not lefty, but I am.
Right. And it's crazy that he played such a rocky anthem of the Star Spangled Banner. That's what's just impressive.
You still hear it today.
Yeah. It's really famous. The Jimi Hendrix, the Star Spangled Banner. Oh my God, is really famous.
Yeah.
But you know what? So that is it for today's episode. No, you have anything to say?
No. All I gotta say is just make sure you follow us on the Instagram. The Music That Made America podcast. Make sure you look out for our next episodes. We'll definitely try to be as active as we can as summer is ending. We won't be together as much as we typically are, but we'll definitely try to get some content out, and we'll see everybody on our next episode. Make sure you tune in and listen.
Thank you all, and have a great day.
See ya.